All right, thank you guys. Hopefully I get the right one. I did this one time and flopped my Bible and my sermon notes everywhere. Well, good morning. My name is Greg Linton, and I am a member here at Penticton Alliance Church. My wife, Karen, is your family and children's pastor. And we've been with you here since October and really starting to enjoy life in the Okanagan with some great thanks to Dave and Barb, who came out and gave us some tips on the grapes we have growing in our backyard. Pastor Lawrence, as you know, is away today, and so they're away next Sunday as well, and they've asked me to fill in today. Somebody else is going to do this next week, and so instead of listening to Pastor Lawrence today, you get to listen to me for a little while. Sorry about that. You will have a greater appreciation for Pastor Lawrence once I'm done, maybe. I actually applaud his bravery in asking other people to fill the pulpit for him. When I was a pastor, I was a pastor for 16 years in the Alliance, and that was in two different churches in Alberta. And one of the times we were going away on a holiday, I asked one of our elders to preach. And I heard later that he went on for 90 minutes. And he would have kept going if another one of the elders didn't get up and put his arm around him and say, "I think the congregation has enough to think about for the next week." So I'm not going to preach for 90 minutes today. In fact, Pastor Lawrence gave me a time frame, so hopefully we'll be done and out of here in time for you to get home for lunch and everything, so it'll all be good. Speaking of Pastor Lawrence, I'm not going to tell a joke about him or anything, but Pastor Lawrence, because I was a pastor, I know that Pastor Lawrence works hard. I know that he puts in a lot of hours. I know that he's had even his fair share of sleepless nights because of you and me, because of us caring about our burdens and our needs, our worries, our thoughts, and I bet you he's been worn out at times. I imagine there's been times where he's felt like throwing his hands up and saying, "Penticton Alliance, come on." Felt like throwing in the towel at times. Maybe. I don't know that for certain. Don't quote me on that. But I want to encourage you today, just in thinking about Pastor Lawrence and Marcy, if you don't do this already, think about some way that you could encourage them. And one thing I always loved as a pastor was to get an encouragement card or some sort of a note in the mail or slipped under the door of my office, not telling me how I could do better, but thanking me for what I do. And if you put in like a $10 gift card to Starbucks or something, he would really appreciate that. And it's not very much. Or maybe a gift card to Kojo or to Joy Buffet or somewhere that he would love to go. And that would be kind of would be a neat thing if even we had a weekly program set up where one person would do that every week. Don't all do it this week. But I think some encouragement like that can help a pastor stay a lot longer, and that's important. So enough about my rant of encouraging your pastor. This morning I want to talk to you about how God has been faithful to me, and hopefully encourage you that even if you don't realize it, God is faithful to you as well in so many ways. One of my favorite parts of the Bible is Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith, where it goes through a lot of the people from the Old Testament and talks about how they were faithful and what God did in their lives. No matter what the cost was, these people followed. They obeyed. They stepped out in faith and trusted that God would take care of them. And so this morning I want to read part of Hebrews chapter 11. So if you'd like to turn there in your Bible, if you have it with you, please do so. Otherwise, you will be able to follow along on the screen. It's going to be up behind me. But in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start reading at verse 8. And so I want to invite you to stand as we read God's Word. It says there, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I'd like to invite you just for bow your head for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are so good to us here, that you have been so good to so many people throughout the history of the world. Thank you that you were faithful to Abraham, and that you led him, you called him, and through him you built a holy nation. Father, I pray that today as we think about your word, as we think about how you have been faithful to us through our years, God, I pray that you would encourage each one that's here and that you would just draw us a little closer to yourself today for being here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my personal testimony, how God has led me, how he has directed me throughout my life. Please don't think I'm trying to compare myself to Abraham in the Bible. By no means am I trying to do that. In a very small way, though, I feel like maybe I know a little bit about how Abraham felt, called out of his home, out of where he knew things, where he had grown up, sent to a foreign place, and told, just believe and go. God was good to Abraham. God led Abraham. And we can read that whole story in the Bible, in Genesis and in Hebrews. And I believe that God has been good to me too. That God has directed me and blessed me as I have tried to follow his direction. This morning, I'm not going to preach a sermon like Pastor Lawrence does. You probably recognize if Pastor Lawrence was preaching through there, we'd go back and pick that passage apart, maybe verse by verse, and cover some of the highlights and look at some of the truths that are in there. But this morning, I want to tell you about my story of faith and how I have been led and directed by God through my years. And like I say, hopefully encourage you in that. I haven't always followed willingly. I've felt God direct me at lots of times, and I've said no lots of times. And you might identify with that, that you've turned God down too at times. But even when we say no, God gives us another chance. I'm so thankful for that. And a third chance, and a fourth chance, and however many chances it takes until we finally obey. Well, I was blessed to be born into a Christian home in Ontario, and my parents are here with us today. They happen to be coming out here and just happened to fall on the same weekend that this was happening, so they have to sit through this. But Yeah, I was blessed to be born into a Christian home and grew up as a Christian. I tell people that I went to church for 9 months before I was born in Cobourg, Ontario, at the Alliance Church there. And after I was born, we went to Sunday school every Sunday, morning and evening service every Sunday, Bible study, youth group, backyard Bible school, vacation Bible school. If there was an event going on at the church, we were there. Well, I made my personal decision to follow Jesus as my Savior when I was about 7 or 8 years old. I was at a vacation Bible school wrap-up at our church, and I remember the pastor said, "Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed," have you ever heard that before? Well, that's an invitation to every 7 and 8 year old in the building to see what's going on. But even though I was looking around, I didn't have my head bowed or my eyes closed, I knew God was calling to me that day and that I should place my faith in Jesus and start following him. And so I did that. And I remember praying with Pastor Leadbeater that afternoon that God would forgive my sins and come into my heart. Some events I remember growing up after that is, like I say, we went to lots of church events. And the odd time there would be a traveling evangelist come through or something. And one of those meetings I remember was just in a community hall. And the traveling minister gave an invitation. He said, "I want all you young people and all you young adults, if you're willing to follow Jesus and enter a life of ministry, please come to the front." Well, I think I was the only one that didn't go to the front. And out of all of those people who did, I think I was the only one that ever entered ministry after that. So when God wants to get a hold of you, he does. God had other plans for me. Then because I was going to high school in Ontario, we had 13 grades of high school. And so I was in grade 13, and some friends at youth group, a couple of them said, "Hey, we're going to Cape and Ray in England next year. Why don't you come with us?" And just like that, I said, "Sure." Didn't have it planned or anything like that. But I found out later that that was going to be a very important year in my life. When I was there is the year that God really called out to me and called me into ministry. One of the things we had to do at Cape and Ray there in England is one day a week we would work out in the fields or in the barns, or we'd do painting or some kind of manual labor. Well, one of these days I was digging potatoes in a field, and I distinctly felt that God was talking to me, and he was saying, "Greg, pay attention. I'm going to talk to you today. I want to tell you something. You keep your ears open." And there was no burning bush. There was no angels. There was no loud voice from heaven, but I just had this distinct feeling God was calling out to me that day. Well, we went back to the main hall, the main building, for lunch that day, and there was also mail delivery that day. This is back before computers, before cell phones, before instant messaging. And I had a letter waiting for me from a cousin of mine that was going to Canadian Bible College in Regina. And she said, "Greg, it's great here. You should come and go to college here. I think you would really do well." I thought, okay, that's interesting. God, I thought, had said, pay attention and listen. And then here was this note. "Why don't you come here?" Well, I looked on the date that letter was sent. And the date it was sent was like over 2 weeks before. And it usually didn't take that long for mail to arrive. But it had a stamp on it that it had gone through Grenada on its way from Regina down to the Caribbean and over to England. That shouldn't have happened. But I believe that that was God's timing. I believe he routed it through that way so that it would arrive on the day that he had told me, pay attention. And maybe it was because that was the day I was actually going to pay attention. So that was kind of a neat way of God getting my attention. Later that day, I went and looked through some of the items I had brought with me from home. And in the the suitcase I had brought with me, I had an application form for Canadian Bible College in Regina. And I never knew I even had it with me. I don't know how it got there. I probably put it in there, but I had no idea it was there. So I took that as God's confirmation to me that that's where he wanted me to be, in Regina, Saskatchewan. And so that fall, me and my 1978 Ford Pinto made the trek from southern Ontario to Regina, Saskatchewan. That Ford Pinto never made it back to Ontario. Its life ended in Minnesota somewhere. That's another story. But again, it was a story of how God provided. Just as a side note, it blew a piston. I sold it for $200 US to somebody because it had new tires on it. And it paid for two bus tickets, one for me and one for the guy that was with me to get back to Toronto. So that was kind of neat how God provided. Well, after my third year at Canadian Bible College, part of the Bachelor of Religious Education program I was in, we had to go do an internship at an Alliance church. And I had asked if I would get sent to Western Canada somewhere. And simply because I was thinking, you know, if I get sent out there, there's good possibility I'm not going to drive home every weekend, or I'm not going to just go away. It was nice to go somewhere where I didn't know anybody and where I could kind of immerse myself in the learning that I was there for. So for 4 months, I was to go and learn what it meant to be a pastor. So I was scheduled to go to St. Paul, Alberta. Anybody know where that is? Lots of people. Well, about 3 weeks before I was to go, I get a phone call from the college saying, well, the pastor has been moved to a different church. So you would be going in on your own and there wouldn't be a pastor there. So he says, that's not going to work. But another church has volunteered to take you, and that was Barrhead Alliance Church in Barrhead, Alberta. And so made my way to Barrhead, Alberta in the fall of 1991. And I spent 4 months there learning what it meant to be a pastor. After that, it was back to school and finished up at Christmas of 1992. So my four-year program was complete. And then I started looking for work as a pastor in the Alliance. And it just so happened that Barrhead Alliance, where I had interned, was hiring for a youth pastor. So I applied and went through the whole process, and they invited me to come as their youth pastor. So I started there in February of 1993, and Karen and I were married a few months later in May of 1993. It's our 26th anniversary this week coming up. So we were there for about 4 years, and both our girls were born there in Barrhead. And just after Megan was born, the elders board were doing an evaluation, which they did every year, just to see how they thought I was doing as their youth pastor. And in this evaluation, they said, Greg, we hired you to do this, look after our teens and our youth and young adults, do a little bit with the Sunday school and so on. We hired you for this. Here's what you're really good at. Not this, but other stuff. So they were kindly encouraging me to get out the door. They didn't fire me, but they said, we think you're more suited to serve as a pastor in a church, not a youth pastor. And so God was calling to us and saying, okay, time to go, time to move. And so we started in discussion with a church called Lamont Alliance Church in Lamont, Alberta, just east of Edmonton. And in November of 1997, we moved our little family out there to Lamont. And we served there until 2008. So just about 11 years, and we felt God saying, okay, time to move again. We had been there, like I say, almost 11 years, and we felt the church was kind of stagnating. Everything seemed to have plateaued, and it felt like God was saying, Greg, you're not the one that's going to take them on to the next step in the journey. And so I gave my resignation in the spring of 2008, thinking that, like he had done 11 years before, God would provide another church for us to go to, and everything would be great. The kids could start school in a new community that fall, no problems. Well, it didn't work out like that. We talked to, interviewed with, sent resumes to about 20 different churches in the Alliance. And either they didn't want us or we didn't want them. And so for a year, we were kind of in limbo. I worked at a feedlot. I fed cattle. I got a class one license. I drove truck. I picked rocks in the field. I did all that fun farming stuff. There was times where Karen told me that I better change in the garage before I come in the house. But for a year, we didn't know what God was calling us to do. So we were attending church in Sherwood Park, Alberta, at Heartland Alliance, and going in there to church every Sunday. And so fast forward through that year, and Karen and I found we started to reverse our roles. She was invited to become a children's pastor, and I was invited to join the staff of Park Memorial Funeral Home in Edmonton. And so I took funeral director course, became a funeral director at that time, and Karen just immersed herself in her role as children's pastor of grades 1 to 4 elementary at Heartland Alliance Church in Sherwood Park. Well, fast forward about 9 more years later, things were all still going well, and things were starting to change, though, at the church we were at in Sherwood Park at Heartland Alliance. Karen had been hired to be the children's pastor and to give oversight to all the different parts of that ministry. But the church had grown so fast and so much that she found herself overseeing other paid staff instead of being a pastor to the children and to different families that she could be pastor to. And so we felt maybe God was calling us again, that it would be time to move on, time to change. Well, about that same time, Penticton Alliance was advertising for a family and children's pastor. And we thought, well, maybe this is what God wants us to do. Karen had given 25 years of her life to Alberta. She grew up in North Vancouver. And so if anybody's ever been in that situation, you'll realize how happy she was to maybe move on to a different province and get back to British Columbia. Well, early on in that process of her applying here, I thought, well, if God's going to call us there, I better find something to do there. So I found that there was a funeral home looking for a funeral director. I thought, perfect. Maybe this will work out just great. So I was in conversation with this funeral director, and everything was going great. He said, yeah, I'm going to have a position for you and everything. And so that was all working out good. Well, we came out here just about a year ago to meet with some people in the church and the elders' board. That was in July of last year. And we had met with the board, we had met with Pastor Lawrence, and sat through a Sunday service. We stayed at Fred Marlis's house. They introduced us as their friends from Edmonton. But we got through most of that weekend, and we're thinking, this is good. We really can see ourselves fitting in here. Well, I went to meet with the funeral director, who had basically offered me a job, and I sat down across a table from him at a restaurant, and he says, well, I sold the funeral home this week. Oh, God, what are you doing to me? So we left that weekend, July 8th, we left Penticton thinking, what's going on? We thought for certain this is where maybe you wanted us, God. Well, things didn't work out just how we wanted, maybe. The funeral director who had almost promised me a job said, don't worry though, the new owner is going to come and meet with you this morning. And so he came in and sat across the table from me. We had some small talk and he heard who I was, where I was from. And he says, sorry, we're not hiring any funeral directors right now. So all of a sudden, I'm back to square one, not knowing if there was a job available here for me, not knowing if this is where God really wanted us to be. So we left town just feeling a little confused about what God had in mind. Well, a little later that summer, last summer, the church phoned and offered Karen the position. And you know how that worked out. Obviously, she accepted, and we're just so grateful to be here. Well, she accepted the position on faith, thinking, well, God's going to provide something. Well, that same week, I got a phone call from Providence Funeral Home offering me a position as a commission salesman, selling prearranged funerals and grave markers. Well, that must be God's way of saying, okay, I want you here. So we started the process of moving out here. About that time in Edmonton, housing prices had dropped drastically. The amount of houses for sale in Edmonton rose drastically. And we thought, oh no, we're not going to be able to sell our house. We didn't know what would happen. Well, a realtor from our church in Sherwood Park came over and looked at the house, and I said, here's how much I would like to list it for. And he says, no, I think we need to list it for $40,000 less than what you're suggesting. Well, we met kind of closer to the middle and prayed. And our house sold in 10 days for exactly our asking price. So God, again, said, yeah, that's where I want you right now, is in Penticton. We were able to secure a house to rent here in Penticton for 5 months. And so about Christmas time, we started looking for a house to buy. And we went to a mortgage broker, and they said, well, you're working as a commission salesman. You don't qualify for a mortgage. Okay, so we had some of these ups and downs get in here. But they said, well, for 20% interest, you can get a loan for a house. Well, that's kind of ridiculous. Well, that week that we were told that, one of the funeral directors at Providence Funeral Home resigned, opening up a door for me to become a funeral director there. And so I was offered that job, and the salary was enough to qualify for our mortgage. And in March, we took possession of a house in Okanagan Falls, so a little bit of a drive down the road. But we find ourselves here today just amazed at how God has been so faithful to us through the years. And there has been some of that up and down, some bumps in the road. But God has opened doors, and He's been extremely faithful to us throughout the years. Time and again, I've seen what I thought was just a negative thing, and my first inkling is always to think, oh, look at the negatives in this. But God has changed these things in our lives and made them positives. Karen and I have visited with a lot of you, and not all of you, of course, but as we do, I know we've heard so many stories of how God has been faithful to you, how God has directed your lives. And so I know that my story is not unique. God has interacted with each of you in your lives. He has given you direction. He's brought you here for a reason. And all of this kind of to say, don't be surprised at God's faithfulness. I'm sometimes surprised when God's faithful to me. I know I don't deserve it. I know that yeah, there's no way he should be faithful to me. But he is. And that's one of his promises in the Bible. In Romans chapter 8, it says, "And we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" As you look back over your life, don't be surprised when God's been faithful to you. You should expect it. He wants the very best for you. It might not always look like it. The answers aren't always immediate. We waited for a year for an answer, and looking back, it wasn't that long to wait. Some of you have waited a lot longer than a year for some answers, and maybe you're still waiting for an answer. But I want to let you know God's faithful. He'll answer. Just keep waiting. If God's for us, who can be against us? Even if you're waiting, please don't take it as God ignoring you or God turning his back on you, because God is faithful. Second thing I want to leave with you today is that if God has called you, don't doubt his call. We could see some certain points in our lives where God called to us. He told me, go to Alberta. Told me, go from Barrhead and go to Lamont. Go from Lamont to Edmonton. And then a big one for me was go from Alberta to BC. That was a big change and something God had to do a special work in my heart to bring us here. But God has been faithful. And we should never doubt his call when he calls out to us. When God called out to Abraham and said, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, go to the land I will show you," Abraham didn't know where that was. He didn't know how it was going to work out, what the end would be. But he trusted God and he didn't doubt. If God's asking you to go across the country, if God's asking you to go across the street or halfway around the world, don't doubt his call, because he'll make it happen and he'll be good to you. He'll be faithful to you as you follow him. And a third thing I want to say to you today is that I realize that the story I've shared about my life has been about how God has directed me and how Karen and I together have been directed by God. But you might be sitting here today saying, "Oh yeah, whatever, that's all good for you, but it's not the way things have worked out in my life." Well, even if it doesn't look like it, I want you to know God has been faithful to you. God's been good to you. He has not been silent in your life. If that's kind of though how you're feeling today, then let me tell you, God has loved you. God has provided for you in a way that far outweighs just moving you from place to place within a country. The truth is that God has loved you and that God has been faithful to you. One of the places where I love to read about how God has been faithful is in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And I know a lot of you could recite that verse with me. "If we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins, and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If you think God doesn't care about you, I want you to know he cares deeply about you. And I hope and I pray that the truth of that Bible passage sinks in. If you confess your sins to God, he's faithful. He's faithful to you. And even though he's just, he forgives your sins, cleanses you from all unrighteousness. If you tell God, "God, I'm a sinner, I need you to forgive me," then he's faithful. Means he's trustworthy, he's reliable. And even though he's just and demands that sin be given punishment, he gave that punishment to his son Jesus. That's how good he is. That's how much he loves you. If we confess our sin to God, even though he's just, he forgives us for our sins Instead of dishing out the punishment on us, he dished it out on his son Jesus. And he pardons us. Do you deserve that? Do I deserve that? No way. But he gives us what we don't deserve because he's faithful. So don't ever think that God hasn't been faithful to you or he hasn't loved you. He cares deeply about you, so much that he gave his son to die on the cross for you. I've seen God do great things in my life. I've seen him give me direction. I've seen things turn out way different than they should have turned out in my life. And when I'm tempted to doubt God's direction, all I need to do is think about some of the things he has done, some of the ways he has been faithful to me. And my faith in him is restored. If you can't think of times in your life where God has directed you, keep thinking about it. It's there. And I'm confident that God has played a big part in your life in directing you to where you are today and where you'll be in the future. Abraham was called to leave his comfort zone. He was over 70. He was 75 years old and he was called, go from the place where you're ready to retire. Go to a place I'll show you. He probably had a nice, comfortable home. And the Bible says he lived in tents. He pulled up roots, everything he had, he took with him. And God led him. And God proved faithful to him. God will prove faithful to you in whatever he's called you to do. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. They're going to lead us in another song. And just as they do, I hope that God's faithful. And I know he changes the words that are coming out of my mouth to what you hear in your ears. So I'm so glad for that he's talking to you. And what you needed to hear today, I trust that you've heard that today and that you'll be encouraged to go forward and continue serving him.